Peter had said that many will follow false teachers. False teachers were among Peter's readers. That could mean if they are let in a compromised church, they would come into the church, or at least they could be all around the neighborhood, all around nowadays the internet, all around the media, false teachers. So Peter had already said where the truth comes from. He said in chapter 1 that they were eyewitnesses of the life of Jesus, what he did and said. He already said in chapter 1 that the scriptures were co-written by the Holy Spirit and these eyewitnesses. But these false teachers were denying the Lord who bought them. Chapter 2, verse 1. He had paid for their sins, yet they're denying that he is God in the flesh, denying his resurrection. We come now to the first part of 2 Peter chapter 3, and they will keep denying, but they deny that he will return. They deny that there will be any judgment. There won't be any penalty for anything anybody does. This begins in 2 Peter 3. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. The readers are beloved. That's several times in this closing chapter. They're beloved in verse 1, beloved in verse 8, beloved in verse 14, beloved in verse 17. So deeply loved by God and deeply loved by the Apostle Peter. He says he has written two letters. When we were looking at which books belong in the New Testament, the actual word for that is canon. Again, not a weapon, but cane like a measuring stick. How do you measure truth? With the canon. 20 of the New Testament books were always regarded as fully authentic. No one disagreed with 20. It should have been 21. Again, Book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote it, so it should be 21. 1 Peter was always considered authentic. Evidence is overwhelming for 1 Peter. 2 Peter had some doubters in it, but we could and did at the beginning give a list of the early church fathers that believed 2 Peter was written by Peter, and certainly here as the internal evidence, the way it's talking, it stresses that 2 Peter is the author. The second letter, Deuteros, we get Deuteronomy from it, and he wrote a second time. He's trying to stir up their sincere minds. Sincere, again, comes to mind without wax. Sincera, without wax, and they would do the bowls and the pots, and if they were leaky, they would put wax on it to make them fake. But this book is not fake. The readers were not fake. Peter was not fake. We do need to be reminded, and they believed in the truth, but the truth needed to be reminded, and it came from the prophets, the Lord himself, and the apostles. Now, given that order, it's probably the Old Testament prophets being stressed. And then the Lord's teachings, which were also given to us by the apostles. The apostles are the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20. And today we follow the apostolic teaching by following the books that they wrote. And that's how they got in the Bible. The false teachers are ridiculing the eyewitnesses. The false teachers were ridiculing the apostles, and more on this ridicule in the second section verses 3 through 7. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed by flooding with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of godly men. So the question is, where is the promise of his coming? They did not mean, where in the Bible does it say he's coming? Or where did Jesus say he's coming? They are making fun and challenging that Jesus would ever come, because it had been about 30 or 35 years since the ascension and the writing of 2 Peter. So where did he come back? Concerning the judgment that all things have remained the same since creation, Peter is saying, you're forgetting. You're forgetting that all things have not remained the same since creation, that there already was a judgment, and that there was a judgment in the past, and there's going to be a future judgment, the destruction of the world, then in the flooding, destruction of the world coming in the future with fire. Now, it's kind of funny that they say all things are the same since creation. Did they believe in a creation? Did they believe in a creator? Well, some of them might. However, they don't want to have someone telling them what to do. It says, quote, verse 3, following their own lusts. So it's not a matter of reasoning that there is atheism. It's not a matter of scientific or historical reasoning that there is no God. That's not what they're talking about. They don't want there to be a God. It's not rational. It's not thinking about things. It's we want to do what we want to do. So we don't want to believe in a God, because we don't want to believe in anybody telling us what to do. But also it escapes their notice that the world was destroyed already in the past in Noah's flood. They had plenty of time to listen before the flood. They had plenty of time to listen now, because he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Noah had plenty of time to tell people about the destruction and tell them to believe, but they didn't want anything to do with it. The past was by water. The future will be by fire. Pyre again. That's kind of the original word for fire, the pyre. Now, believers have reservations in heaven. That's back in 1 Peter 1:4. But here we have examples of reserve for judgment. 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:17, reserved for judgment, reserved for blackness, black darkness. And here in verse 7, reserved for the day of fire. More destruction is coming in the topic following, but in between there, it's differences in how God views time. His view of time is different than ours. That's verses 8 and 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So they're saying, when does Jesus come back? Well, he is waiting until there's more time for more people to believe. And He's not in a hurry, and he's not late. And with God, the view of time is that 1,000 years are like a day. And here Peter was quoting Psalm 90, verse 4. So God is not delayed as far as waiting. He's waiting for more unbelievers to believe, and there's still time to bring more people to God. He does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Time for that. Here's 1 Timothy 2:4, who desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The second coming had not happened yet, and still has not happened yet, because he would like there to be a time for repentance, that he might have mercy upon all. Romans 11:32. So it took Noah, he had like 120 years, and he's given them evangelism while building the ark, and God was patient, and God is patient now. We don't want to make a sermon on Noah's flood, because I kind of want to get to the scriptures here at the end, but all kinds of evidence for Noah's flood. Whitcomb and Morris is an old book, but it's got lots of pictures in it of all the animal species bones all mixed together. And got examples of stories of a great flood in cultures all around the world. And the books from the a little bit later, we have Mount St. Helens with layer upon layer of a flood and an earthquake. Fast. Didn't take millions of years. Fast. So if you want to study Institute for Creation Research, and some would be online, other many books, and some other time more on creation, but there was a flood. There was a judgment. There was waiting, a time for repentance. Metanoeo again. Meta means change. Noeo means notions. Change your mind. So repentance may involve feeling sorry for sin, but people are not saved just because of feeling sorry for sin. They're saved by changing their mind about Jesus. So maybe feeling sorry for sin leads to a turn to change their mind about Jesus, but main saving repentance is changing one's mind about repentance. Book of Hebrews talks about Esau. Esau sold his inheritance. He felt sad, but he could not repent. The definition there was he felt sad, but he could not change his mind. We're saved by faith. Repentance might be changing one's mind about who Jesus is and turning to trust in him. The result here is not perishing. That's a lot like John 3:16. Oh, that was John, and here's a Peter in verse 9, not perishing. But he will come and destroy the heavens and the earth, and now that's verse 10 and following. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. And we're going to go around verse 11 because it does have devotional in there for believers. But as far as destruction of the world, it's verse 10, verse 12 now. And looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The Son of God will come at an unexpected time. He is not a kleptos, a thief, in any bad sense, but in the sense of surprise intrusion. and destruction of unbelievers, he is like a thief that will have a surprise coming and he will destroy unbelievers. Quite a bit of surprise coming, and we had that in our scripture reading, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, and also in the book of Revelation, he will come like a thief. Heavens and earth will pass away with noise. Heavens, there are actually, Paul mentions the third heaven, and the third heaven will not pass away. That's up there in the presence of God. But when it says the heavens will pass away, that means as we look up, the sky will pass away, and the solar system will pass away, not the third heaven, but the first two. A noisy sound, the Greek dictionary on this says a crackling sound. So it doesn't add this, but when I think of a building burning and collapsing, I think of a crackling sound. And the Greek dictionary said a roar is like a crackle, like it's all collapsing. It will be burned up. That's related to the word Eureka. It sounds like the gold rush, but I guess they found things in the dirt. I have found it looking in the dirt. But the earth will become dirt. The earth will be like a wasteland. All of life will be gone. We will say it would be scourged. There's reference to the elements. All that has to mean is that the basics of the world will be destroyed. One does wonder, a lot of the creation scientists talk about the electrons being pushed together, the positive and negatives being pushed together. And the creation scientists will say that's maybe how the earth will be destroyed. Verse 12 is kind of odd. It says, hastening the coming of the day of God. How do we hasten the coming? How do we speed up the second coming? He doesn't really say how we can speed up the second coming. Ask Jesus to come back or evangelize and more people get saved, but somehow hastening the second coming. There will be a new heavens and new earth. One wonders a brand new planet, but I usually think it'll be this one redone. This one new in the sense that sin is taken away. I think that David's son has to sit upon the throne in Jerusalem, and that sounds like this world. So I would say probably this world redone will be the new earth. Now we look at some devotional topics before we get to the end. Verse 11 and 14 are kind of devotional. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. The world is passing away, so John also said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And while it's passing away, we should not have sinful spots. We should be as dedicated to God as we can be. Close of 2 Peter will be about growing in knowledge. That's verse 18. And it will be in verse 17 about not following these false teachers. But I would like to stress verses 15 and 16. So let's take a look at those. And regard the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking of them, of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. So we have here at the close a reference to Paul, but the important thing is his writings are in the category of scripture. So the New Testament writings are scripture. And when it talks about the scriptures being written by the Holy Spirit, it's not limited to the Old Testament. Peter is also thinking about the New Testament. Paul's books are also scripture. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, so forth, and the author of Hebrews even was a co-worker with Timothy. So Paul's letters are regarded as scripture by AD 67, by the time of the writing of 2 Peter. The New Testament canon, measuring stick, was already being added to, already being respected at this earlier time. And when Peter had talked about scriptures earlier, he was including the New Testament in it. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And moved, again, is like a sailboat, pushed along in the wind by the Holy Spirit. Well, when he said that, he was also referring to the New Testament writings. The epistles of Paul are being mentioned, but Peter is nearly at his end while he writes 2 Peter, and so the Gospel of Mark had already been written, and some of the other Gospels had already been written, because Mark was giving us Peter's memories. All these New Testament books are in the scripture category. 2 Peter stops here, and it says not to follow the false teachers. Many people do, but follow the true teachers. The false teachers will carouse. That's Peter's word, not just mine. They will carouse. They will end in destruction. But the scripture gives us truth, and all who follow the Lord Jesus Christ will end up in glory. It says here, you know that Jesus is Savior, and the book ends, know more and more and more about him. Will the musicians please come?